with a UFO mantra.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Need Ollie.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KBAOEKEATK.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KB8OE. KEATK. How goes it, Phil? I'm heading out of Frankenmuth right now.
Al, Joe, and I are drinking our first cup of coffee sitting out here on the porch with the dog and the cat.
Ooh, I'm going a little over the speed limit. I'm going to slow this craze down. I'm on low power right now. How am I getting into the system from Frankenmuth?
About just a health checkup or something?
A1C blood draw. How's my signal getting out of Frankenmuth on low power?
Pretty good. Solid copy on you.
I gotta head to my place and drop off these boxes. And then I'm heading over to meet them parts onto that PTO shaft. I was gonna do it yesterday, but I got sidetracked. Didn't have my work boots, and I didn't want to try to run the torches in sandals.
Oh, why not? That's very sporty.
Not very adventurous, am I?
Well, my brother-in-law, he warned me about MIG welding without earplugs in. He was MIGging something and spattering the little balls flying around, and one of them went right down in and circled on his eardrum.
I always wore hearing protection when I done it in production, but man, I've had them drop in my ear, and you got to flip your head around real quick, because they will roach an eardrum.
Oh yeah, heck was I gonna say? I don't know what you think from all this. Yeah, I still got a fix my MIG welder. I told you about how it's jamming up. It's not sliding the wire through the sheathing very well. And boy, the tension on the reel is like crazy tight. I've always kind of had some trouble with it, so I think I need to take it apart and make sure everything's okay, lubed up, and adjust tension adjustment for the reel. Because it's all it can do to just kind of move it here and there. It's nothing but a bunch of trouble with the damn thing.
It's finicky, a lot more finicky than a stick welder, but, you know, if you do a lot of it, that's why I run a lot of the 2-pound spools when I'm only doing hitting this stuff, and I take them in, keep the silica bag they come packed in, and then, seal them up the best I can with tape, and then the liner is still getting nasty, and then spring tension on the spool. You always dealing with that too.
Well, I naively just kind of used it out of the box the way it was, and I got a fair amount of stuff done it, but I always had trouble getting a good result, and it wasn't until I was using the welder at work that I realized mine wasn't really set up right and that it was feeding the wire properly and all that good stuff, so that's something I'll be taking care of here before long because I sure would need to use it.
I also tie a rag. I also tie a rag on the after the pinch wheel, going into the where it feeds into the cable going out through the liner. I tie a rag right there with that little brass thing. Tie that on around there, and then it brushes any of the contaminants off before it shoves its way down to the stinger.
Yeah, that sounds kind of a good idea. Kind of like a wiper on a lathe where it wipes everything off, you know.
Exactly. I've got a lot of years. I've pushed, not hundreds. I've pushed thousands of pounds of wire all the way up to about 72,000 flux core and solid. My supply I got now will run 450 amps, and it'll do, the feed is, it'll do 700 inches a minute, and it'll push 72,000, so you can run about a 1-inch wide puddle.
Holy smokes. We need to dig your TIG welder out sometime this summer and play around with it, make sure it works right.
Yeah, I've got to set up a better way of sharpening the tungstens. I think I got the lanthanated, it's like an all-purpose. I don't remember. I'll have to look on them. I think they're blues.
Yeah, I was using for a long time the thoriated ones instead of the red ones, the thoriated, because I think the thoriated is not quite as bad for you. The thoriated, I mean, that's straight up radioactive, you know.
You want to have a good range hood and, you know, to pull any of that stuff out if you're using thoriated, for sure. Lanthanated, not nearly as bad, but I don't know. I'll just be happy to use the thing and start figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. I'll miss TIG welding, man. That was pretty good skill to have. But why don't I get off here for a little bit so I can chat with Cheryl. We're sitting here drinking coffee, and I'll get back with you later this morning or this afternoon or something for a little bit.
Hi, Bill. That was a pretty good test. I have to get something different set up for this rig. It's not popping any fuses at the rig, but it's popping them on the vehicle. So I think there's something riding with that cigarette lighter, because all I'm doing is a cigarette lighter. I am kind of going close to the maximum draw on it. So I think I'm going to put in extra one that's a higher powered plug-in. Sub 3, I'll wrap with you a little later. I'll be on the road in and out of the truck most of the day. KB8OOE.
All right, man. Have a good morning, Mike. Get your stuff done. I'll have to do likewise. 7-3. Chat. See you later. KB8OOE. KB8GK.
Hey, Hams. Heading out Birch Run Road. West of 15. There's a semi rollover. You can get around it, but there's going to probably be a lineup. So if you're out this way, there's they've got the help's already arrived. It's Wouldn't want to be that guy. KWOOE, mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Whiskey 8, Julie Delta Echo, this is Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Victor Bravo.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Is that you, over?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Come here, Weezy.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Golf Delta Mike. How's my audio quality?
Sounds great, Mike.
I'm currently transmitting at 10 watts out of a fiberglass antenna, so I'm glad it's working. Just installed the whole setup yesterday. And, What power are you transmitting at?
I'm running, it actually clocks in at about 17 watts. It's a 20 watt radio. Similar setup as far as antenna.
Yeah, it sounds really, really good. My transmitter's running at 10 watts. I just don't know how much is actually reaching the antenna with how much cable I have running to it. I have about 50 feet of KMR-400. Supposed to be low loss, but you still lose it's a slight measurable amount.
I'm running about 30 feet of, I don't remember the letters, but it's the whatever has a 400 in it, and it's firm line, like stiff line. I'm kind of new at this, so I'm just figuring stuff out. But I'm pretty sure I'm pretty close. I'm only about 5 miles away from this repeater.
Yeah, I'm checking my thing right now. I'm trying to see what it says. It says that I am about 13.6 miles south of it, which that's pretty good, getting pretty good quality for being that far away.
coming loud and clear, 100%.
Boss, step away for a second. I'll be back in a second.
Sounds good. Standing by KFA GHJ.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Frost Delta Mike, returning.
I'm still here at KFA GHJ. I don't think I gave you my first last time. I'm John, and I am in Carlton, right up by the river.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Frost Delta Mike. And this is Grayson.
Hey guys, this is KE8VLB. I just heard you guys listening when I was flipping through some repeaters plugged in. I'm in Bancroft, and I'm wondering if I can get in here on 2.5 watts. How do I sound?
Sounds amazing. Really clear, really strong signal.
Awesome, that's good to hear. I'm Alex, by the way.
Nice to meet you, Alex. This is John. I'm new at this, and if I'm doing any faux pas, you guys feel free to let me know, and I'm just trying to get my call sign out there and make some contacts.
Yeah, it's no problem. I'm kind of new. I've had my license for a few years now, but I pretty much never really made any contacts. I pretty much just put the radio down and I guess got into some other hobbies, and I'm breaking it out recently again.
You want to go ahead, Grayson?
Yeah, this is KFA GDM. Yeah, I'm decently new. I've been doing this for a little over, I think, a month now. Okay. Yeah. But pretty fun exploring the stuff.
KFA GHJ. Yeah, I spent the winter messing around with the Baofeng and figuring out how everything actually works. I'm a concrete contractor, so I've always run a CB in my truck to talk to guys at the yard, so I know a little bit about radios. And when I found out how much infrastructure was around here to use them, I figured I'd get into it and be the guy in the group that actually knows how to work this stuff.
This is over.
That's pretty sweet. I've never really messed with many CB stuff. As most CBs
started with a
Baofeng,
played around with it a little bit, and I upgraded to a bit of a better setup. Those little radios are not mighty. Mine's worked pretty well for me.
I'm sure you guys know it now, but you doubled perfectly. This is KFA GHJ. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, my bad. I realized it as soon as I unkeyed. I was just asking, I've never really messed with CB. I asked if it's a FM or like single sideband, if most people are talking on FM or SSB.
KFA GHJ. So traditionally CB is an AM thing. I guess you get a little bit more distance out of it that way, but you give up some clarity. I've been running converted 10-meter in-port radios just to have the extra power for quite a while, and local stuff and at the yards they're running AM, and then all the cool ham radio stuff you can play with on the side is all about the upper sideband. And I want to apologize, I've got a baby behind me crying in the backyard. I'm on Mr. Mom duty today. You want to go ahead, Grayson?
Yeah, this is KFA CDM. Yeah, I don't know. This is standard. My editing said we doubled, but I don't know if anyone heard what I was saying, but I was experimenting with the Baofeng for about 3 weeks, and I just got a base station set up the other day, but those ball things, they're small but mighty. They can do a lot.
Absolutely. And that's what, when I saw what I could do for $20 of messing around, I jumped all over it. This is KFAGHJ. Alex, why don't you go ahead, and then Grayson, you come right after him, and we can go and go in a little circle here. KFAGDM, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Sounds like we might have lost Alex. If you're out there, Alex, hop in whenever and let us know. But if not, Grayson, go ahead.
This is KFAGDM. Yeah, my, radio are you using?
KFAGHJ, I have the Anytone 7, I think it's a 778 or a 788 UV.
KFAGDM. Yeah, I think I know the exact model that is. Yeah, I think it's the 8778 UV. And I was looking at that one for a while, but I ended up with a Kenwood, just 2 meter. Works pretty well.
Funny you say that. You know, I'm sure if you watch the YouTube videos or whatever, you see that there's a couple different radios you can get in this case. I was running the Striker 94, which is the 10, 11, and 12 meters, so it covered me for CB. That's what I was running in my truck. So when I saw this and that the programming software was the same, I figured, well, that'll help get me on the right track a lot faster. And I love it. It seems really simple to me. It doesn't have a whole lot of functionality as far as, like, you know, you only got the two bands, and if you're scanning on one, you're not actually monitoring the other. But it puts out good, clean power as far as the signal reports that I've got, and it's just good bang for your buck.
Yeah, I'm still contemplating on getting one. Because this, I like my Kenwood. It's going to be the radio I'll use for 2 meter, because it's 2 meter only, but it would be nice to have a dual band base station. So yeah, I have looked at that. Anytone, I might get it eventually.
KFAGHJ, I've been looking into getting a 2 meter only radio myself to use in the truck, because up by hunting camp and at a lot of the yards that use the CB, they also have a 2 meter channel, and you can get one that puts out pretty good power for a decent price point. And I had been looking at what might be the same kind what you have. Or the Anytone makes like a 588 that's a 2 meter only. I don't have anybody around me that I can talk to about this stuff in real life. You know, I kind of stumbled onto it, you know, organically, and nobody knows what I'm talking about when I try and ask a question, even electronics guys. So it's nice to chat it up with you.
This is Camp ATDM. I have to get off here soon, but I don't know if they still make it anymore, but the Kenwood model I have is the TM241A, and it has three power settings, 50 watt, 10 watt, and 5 watt, I think. It's different than that, but it has a max output of 50, and yeah, it works pretty well. So I'm going to be signing off here in a minute.
KFAGHJ, I got to slide out too, my friend. It was nice chatting with you. I jot down the model of that radio, and I'll look into it just because I probably don't have anything better to do later. And if you're around, feel free to give me a holler. 73.
KFA GVM 73.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Joe, how's it going? 280
Hey, Mike, just messing around. Hey, are you familiar with that 147-1000 repeater over in Flint?
100? Yeah, that one, the 26, I think there's a 2438. There's a bunch of them over there. Yeah. Yep, I've used it.
Okay, just curious. I programmed my radio to get that. I'm not doing too well with the repeater computer. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why you're using it. You got the 3.8 closer to you that's tied to the Lapeer repeater anyways.
Yeah, I know, but I'm in Lapeer every now and then with the old lady. She works there, so I thought it might be nice to have that set up.
Beauty of traveling with repeaters in a link system. You switch to it when you get closer, when you get out of the range of the 3.8. When you get closer to Lapeer, then you switch over to it, and then you won't have a problem.
Yes, I know, that's why when I just set in there, it's programmed already still out that way, and I'm not going to go on the front of the repeater, but with some of the repeater, I'm not going to use that one, right?
You must be using the Lapeer repeater right now.
No, I'm on the Flint repeater. Wait a minute. I'll be doggone. I think I am on the doggone Lapeer repeater.
I can copy 100%. There's some noise. I didn't copy anything, so. You're not making it.
Come on now, where?
You get into the, I heard how about now, that's it. Can you get into the Flint machine? It's losing you. Are you on the Flint machine now? I didn't copy any of that. I know it's you, though. KB8OE.
KB8OE. Is this any better?
That's a lot better. What'd you do?
I bumped the power up all the way to high.
You going into Flint or Lapeer?
It's the Flint repeater. I'm sitting in the house, so. Yeah, that's weird. Dude. Maybe I need a new radio.
I'm sure that you always can use a new radio.
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing at any excuse, right?
Yeah, you're making it in pretty good at this point. What you need is a antenna. What are you on, an HD?
Yeah, I'm just talking on that little Baofeng HD, that DM32 HD. Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, radio of the women. It's like, what do you need more than one radio for? Same thing like, what do you need more than one gun or one fishing pole for, right?
Just tell them it's a good thing I'm not younger. I'd need a couple more couple more girlfriends. Yeah, no doubt. I need a few concubines. Yeah, the one complaint away from having their own girlfriend, because any one of mine is a friend of hers. Yeah. So this thing is working with on the high. I got to keep it on high power. That kind of stuff. I'll have to get that dog on vertical up out there before long. Here's the thing. When you've got that vertical up, you get a crossband repeater there to bump that signal, and then you can run the lowest power on to the rubber duck or even the mini duck antenna with your handheld, and then still walk around and use that, and then it'll bump it up to, you know, it'll bump it up into the game of that antenna, just crossband with it. Yeah, I wonder if that tri or quad band rig, I think it's an Anytone that I bought, it's got 220 on it. I wonder if it'll cross band with that or if it only does UHF, UHF, you know. I'll have to check into that.
Couldn't tell you. I got to jump out of here, though. I got to get this done. And I went and got my work boots, but I noticed that apparently the laces didn't get put in. I swear to God, I had the new laces in these boots, and apparently they're not there.
What are you going to do, run up to Wally World and buy some laces, or just call it quits for the day?
My mother gave me some out of a pair of tennis shoes. I'm going to have to just double space for my work boots. I got to have these on when I'm running that torch.
Okay, well, very good. Well, I'll keep the radio on for some hours down the line here. Good luck with whatever you have. I'll catch you later, Mike. 73-KB8OE-KUTK.
Talk soon, KB8OE.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is KFHDI. Hey, Bubba, did you make it down to Elmont yet?
Yeah, I just hit the button on my way back home.
You got two packages and six extra queens.
Well, I got two packages and five queens. He said that there's two queens in each one of those packages. So I got five queens just because I'm going to take one of them and put them in that, one of them queens and put it in that queenless hive I got at the house.
Say it again what you got. You got two packages that have two queens each. And then you got how many others?
Got five extra queens.
Above and beyond the two in each of the packages, so you got nine queens?
Yes. I got nine queens, but I am, like I said, I'm going to use one of them for that queenless hive I got at the house. So instead of getting six extra queens, I got four extra queens, and then I got four extra queens for the split, and then I got one queen to put in that queenless hive.
How many queens did you leave out of their total?
You're breaking up pretty good. I didn't understand what you said last time, but I've got a total of, all together with the packages, there's two queens in each of the packages, plus I got five extra queens, so yeah, I got nine total. So I'm going to do, like you said, I'm going to do the eight queens, and then I got one queen for the queenless hive. I got.
You might get some of that bastard stuff. I'm sure I've got some now, but yeah, that's a lot. You should be able to split them right on down. I mean, if you're using a Barnyard Bees two framer, you should be able to split them way down. You're gonna have a mess of bees here real quick. You're gonna be laying, you know, poke that hole in them. Like I was telling you, just a small one in there, so they got a good idea where to go and a better way to chew at it. And then drop them in, kind of how I told you, and then they'll get the ripping and tearing out in about 2 or 3 days.
Yep, that
is a couple hours. I need that 9 because of the one that I got at the house already. Yeah, that ain't going to hurt nothing. Certainly not going to hurt nothing. And then, you'll probably want to do splits later, and still get numbers for the fall.
Yeah, I definitely hope to sell the split again before fall and have some good numbers in the colonies before winter there.
I know how to beat them numbers down now. That method I was telling you about that I sprung on some of them other guys, they said, well, that'll work. Well, it's similar to what I kept telling you over and over. Check, start studying Demaree. That method right there will cut your mite load way down, and it makes huge, giant colonies.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that memory a little bit. I sort of pushed into it a little bit, but not a whole lot. I kind of got an understanding of what it is, but yeah, I just need to do a little bit more research.
Yeah. I've heard it called Demare, and I mean, everybody pronounces it different, but what it does is it builds numbers and it keeps the overall size, physical size of things down a little bit, and you just make an awful lot of honey, and it allows things to grow up faster. Typically, it's just one more tool, you know, one more tool to get the job done.
You didn't catch that, one more what to get the job done?
One tool. One more tool to get the job done, like a wrench. One more tool to get the job done. There's so many different angles you can do with this stuff. And then, you know, work around the temperatures and work around the flows.
Gotcha.
K-8-0-O-E, mobile. Whereabouts are you at now?
It'll appear right
next to you. Check and make sure that connector is tight on the back of your radio, your antenna connector.
Tight.
In the first part, and you pop right off. Didn't copy where you even said you were at. I'm over here by Norway Lake Road, and, about 2 miles east of 24 on Norway Lake Road.
Yeah, I said I was in front of Lapeer West High School.
Are you happy with your treatment over there at Mr. Hollis's place?
The guy that I got the beat from?
That's my buddy's son. Bob died here about 2-3 years ago. No, I think it was longer than that, maybe 3 or 4. He's been gone a while now, but yeah, I was awful depressed about that one. His dad was a really, really good dude.
Yeah, I wasn't really there too long. I didn't talk to him a whole lot, but he seemed like a pretty decent dude.
He was a little bit more of a hippie than his dad. His dad was a hippie, but you can look at him and say he's a hippie, you know?
Well, with his big old beard and them, we could be best friends.
It's like picked off in the same cloth, that's for sure. He's doing pretty well. I mean, he's not that he took over, you know, but he works him with his dad, you know. He's a worker, there's no doubt about that. Depending on how my numbers go, I'm probably going to flip these queens about midway through summer. I want the genetics to the ones that I've got, or Saskatchewan. I just do not have the southern genetics unless I do right what the farm, where the farm was they're coming from.
Yeah, Mike, I'm not sure what's going on. I just said a lot of static.
I'm wondering, where are you at now?
I just passed Forest.
Hey, you just passed something. Try it again.
I just passed Moore's Market.
What, are you using a walkie-talkie or something? Or are you using that mobile rig?
On the mobile rig.
It's wrong, dude. That shouldn't even be that bad on low power. You're close enough, you should just be blasting into that system. And if you might have knocked that antenna loose upstairs. Got the repeater, not the key. I'm hearing the repeater full quiet, and I'm not too far from it. You're at Moore's, you're next to it. We should be able to do simplex this time.
K-E-T-K, sitting in the mobile.
Are you, Phil?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the truck with the dog. Little guy's not feeling all that well. He loves sitting in the truck, so we're sitting out here. He just came out here.
Did you hear Eric? Did you hear the other guy there?
Yes, I could hear the other guy. Smooth and no interference.
How do you copy me, Phil? He just called. All right, how well do you copy me?
K-E-T-K. Hey, Mike, real choppy. It's like you're kind of breaking up. I don't have a solid copy on you.
How about, can you hear me better now?
It's still breaking up. There's a storm brewing, a bad storm, so I don't know if that has something to do with the conditions or not. I'm not that familiar with FM, as you're well aware.
How about now? You copy me now?
Yeah, that's a bit better right there. It was real, real choppy before. I think, hopefully I can hear you well. Go ahead.
I can see we've got some stuff coming at us. I gotta head to Columbus, go grab my oxygen bottle, and then go back to Jeff, because he hasn't had oxygen there for quite some time. Anyways, you were hearing Eric pretty well?
Yeah, I heard you guys talk just for a moment. I was messing around with the radio, hooking up the coax to that little HT. It seems like this HT has a clearer receive on it. So I just thought, for the heck of it, I'd hook this up for now until I figure out that other rig a little better, that 218.
To my cousin's husband, I can send him over to Chris Hollis for bees. And he got a bunch of extra queens, and he's using the two-frame boxes to get things started again. So he's got a couple of, I'm hoping he goes through them again before he introduces any queen, but he's got a couple of them that made it pretty much through the winter. They lost them at the end. April's bad.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man. Sorry to hear that. Boy, I just heard a nice boom, the thunder. She's about 5 minutes away from my location. It's going to be...
They were almost close enough to go stemplant, so I'm wondering if the LaPierre machine is a little bit down on her feed sensitivity. Maybe even because of the storm, like you said. You were having a rough time earlier, but...
Yes, sir. A few days ago, I could hit the LaPierre machine no problem, and then I think it was starting yesterday. It seemed real sketchy. In fact, I thought, well, maybe it's not even working at all, but it could have been something on my part. I might have messed up the setting or something. I don't know, but if I do have the settings correct, then yeah, then something seems to miss with it. Hey, I'm going to clear out of here for about 1-2 minutes and make sure all the windows are up in the house, but I'll be back. K-E-H-E-K.
I'm hoping I don't get rid of this blazer. Not even supposed to haul inside of a vehicle, but we'll see how that goes. I'm more worried about it than I can get it inside of it. I'm just about to Columbiaville now. I don't know. I'm using a flat repeater. This is an RF hole, but it's open because of the river. The Flint a little better than it is actually the LaPierre, believe it or not.
Yeah, I'm coming up to Hollenbeck and Marathon, but I could hear that other guy. I could hear him plain as day without any static, you know, nothing. He came in perfect. But I'm getting a lot of static with you.
I gotta hook up a better way of getting power to the rig, because there's something else on this circuit really tearing it up. It's popping fuses, and I don't wanna have to worry about setting the car on fire.
K-E-T-E-K. I can hear both you guys rather clear now. Nice to meet you, Eric. Name's Phil over here, K-E-H-E-K.
Hey, Phil. Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. It's dark here. I bet you Otter Lake looks like they may already be getting hammered. Eric, is it raining over there on you?
I am now pulling up to Hollenbeck and North Lake Road. No rain yet, but it looks nasty. It looks nasty. Hopefully I can get home and get these bees in the shed before it lets go.
By the time you get those bees installed, buddy, it's going to be a love affair with you. Jessel.
What kind of bees are they? Are they Italians or the Russian ones? I can't remember the name of the doggone things now.
We'll be able to put them in tonight if that clears. I would look at the Doppler. You may be able to install them and even open them up tonight.
Yeah, they're Italians. I'm going to open them up and split them up tonight. I'm going to probably here within the next hour. As soon as I get home and get settled, get them in the shed, I'm going to get my stuff together, and I'm going to split them up tonight.
I don't like Italians when it... I'm not a huge fan, and I would always get those Italians from him. And they're kind of nasty. What do you think, Phil?
Well, I've seen the Italians not be so docile, but, man, I've seen those... what's one of those... they're not Russian bees, they're like from Serbia. What do you call it, doggone things? Back to you. It's another real common variety of bee. They're usually almost black looking. At any rate, I've seen those where they seem to be more docile than the Italians, but at the same time I've been stung by those little buggers too. So hell, I don't know. But the Italians are supposedly known to be more swarmy than some of the other varieties. But I don't know, what do you guys think?
Hey, get work done.
It'll be my first time dealing
with
Italians.
Whatever it's worth, I'd rather the Italians are really good honey.
That's it.
Fellas, I'm going to jump out of here and throw this oxygen bottle in here and get back on the road before it's pissing on me. I got to get this back over to North Branch and get that stuff cut apart and at least get it prepped for tomorrow so I can press everything back together. I'll be back in the truck in probably 5-10 minutes. Good luck, Eric. If you watch the Doppler and it clears around you and you're not going to get hit, you know, with rain, you can get them out and then they'll stay right with the boxes and you can move them. I would put them in the general area of what you're going to do. Like if you have Palmers, I would set one point one way and one the other way on the top. And then, you know, once you get them all broke down like that, you just let them chew away. Do a pinhole down the center of that candy. Free them, you know, give them a little bit of an idea. So it speeds it up a little bit, so they earn it still, but they make it through there.
I'm pulling into the house right now. KF8, GBI. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, man. Hey, get those boxes out there with these winds, with these storms. Just make sure they're held down securely. I've had boxes go blowing away. Good luck with everything, Eric. Nice meeting you. KEHEKN side.
Put some weight on them for sure. Maybe 80 OE. I'll be back in a few minutes, Phil.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KB8OOE.
KEHEK.
It's coming down in buckets. I barely got that bottle in the back of the truck before it started coming down and hosing me.
Oh yeah, it pounded down here pretty doggone good. Now it's just a medium light steady rain. But looks like it's gonna be raining for a while yet. I don't know.
Out here by Lakeville High School, and I'm telling you, it just now lightened up enough for my wipers to keep up on high.
I hear that. When we have these sudden squalls come through like that, I always kind of get a little nervous thinking there might be some tornado action along with it, you know.
It was real light hail here for a minute.
Yeah, I missed the hail part here. We didn't have any, but yeah, been quite a year for rain so far, hasn't it? Good grief.
You could get another little wave of mushrooms that stays warm. I don't know, the first ones got frosted out.
Well, hopefully we get some more crops. I mean, those cool nights and then it warms up and it's sunny and all that. Seems like that's when those morels would really pop, you know. After it's hot around the clock and everything, they dry right up, you know.
I don't like it. I don't like this much rain. This is not good.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we have these heavy spring rains, and then summer will be dry as a popcorn fart, you know. It'd be nice if they spread it out a little bit.
I'm worried about some warmer nights. I got that. That needs to happen.
Yeah, for the bees and the tomato plants and the peppers and everything else, right?
This guy's having a hard time backing into his driveway with a semi. Shorty, too, a little 4X trailer, non-sleeper puddle jumper. He should be able to get it. Oh, yeah, I think he's got her now.
So what rig are you running right now?
That QIT 8900D or whatever it is, a 9800D or something. It's a little quad band rig, but it's not a, it doesn't even have dual watts. It's another one of those little scrap boxes like the Bougie.
Yeah, okay. Is that rig that you bought some years back that it didn't show up at first and you had to get on them or something?
Not really copying you. Hold on a minute. Try it again.
Is that the rig that you bought a few, two, three, 4 years back that it didn't show up for a while and then eventually it showed up?
That's it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to have to get another rig for the journey. I'm not going to get anything crazy expensive, but I don't know, maybe a rig like you've got there or something just a little more advanced with dual watch and that stuff on it, I don't know. Depends on how cheap I can get it, hit a sale or something, you know.
She's driving a Kia, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, I won't put a radio in her car unless we're traveling in it or something. I'll just keep a handy-talkie with me, you know. But the journey and the truck, I'd like to have antennas and radios on them. Heck, I'm going to have to buy another magnetic mount. I didn't know I was going to buy this truck when I bought that magnetic mount, or I had bought two of them.
I'm making good time.
That's cool. Hey, I was reading, you know, these diamond clones and even the diamonds, they're supposed to have a good ground on the shield side up there at the antenna. Some of them guys are talking about the different mounts they had and making sure it had a good connection to ground and all that stuff. But I wonder how much better they would work if we did that. I mean, right now, maybe it's just using the metal covers for the magnets for a ground plane. I don't know.
There's enough capacitive coupling, but I'm telling you, they do great. I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. It'd be the guy had all the time in the world in a vehicle. He didn't mind grinding a spot in the roof line and soldering some copper grounding. I'm trying to think of that stuff to use in the shack for connecting stuff together. But put a nice ground directly to the surface underneath it and just see how it compared signal strength-wise, you know. It'd be interesting as an experiment, but, yeah, I'm not going to do something like that with my truck or the Journey.
I've seen these antennas in action compared to other antennas I've had, and they do just fine. I wouldn't sweat it. For the money, they do great.
Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining.
Switch up to that other repeater here in a second when I get on 15. I'm telling you, Phil, I picked up a bunch of odds and ends the other day, and I don't feel a bit bad. Guy was throwing them out. Rolls of hardware cloth.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, stuff like that comes in handy. I hope your buddy Eric made it in his shed or whatever with those bees okay.
Price any of that stuff lately?
No, not lately, but, you know, look what a pencil costs. I don't want anything else. I'm being a smart aleck, but, man, there ain't nothing cheap nowadays.
Oh, it's gotten ridiculous.
Connected to CMN Network.
The only thing cheap is talk.
B8OOE mobile.
K-H-E-K.
All right, I've switched over to the other repeater. How's it sound?
Sounds real good.
Mom's neighbor didn't know that that the lapeer was hooked to the system. I told her, oh, yeah. Yeah, He couldn't figure. He's like, I didn't know any of that. And I said, been hooked up there quite a while.
Yep. As I look at the list of repeaters, of course, some will say linked, some will not say anything like that. But is Echo Link the same thing, or you just go by if it says it's linked?
How the system works, I don't actually, you'd have to ask KB8SWR, one of those guys, or Mike, any of those guys, you'd have to ask them exactly how it works, but I don't know how much they talk about it, because there's a lot of shortwave listeners that don't really need that technical stuff, so, you know, you're better to ask them in person. But I don't. You can use Echo Link and tie into the Link system, CMN Link. But it's not. I don't think that's exactly how they're doing it. But I don't work. Works great.
Yeah, no. I just wondered if Echo Link and the Link system are the same thing, but evidently they're two different animals. But like you're saying, that you can tie them together somehow.
It's finally have you on here, and you know you're getting a pretty good grip on it. And there, he's on here now, and so you know this will give some idea of the capability of it when we start traveling and whatnot. And then I think that me and you really need to work on the single sideband. Weak signal, higher powered stuff, and beam antennas, and then he'll follow suit. Scott wants to get with us and work on this stuff, and horizontal polarization with a high power single sideband and digital stuff is really where it's at. And you know, this is really handy for traveling, this Link system, but we should be able to do anything we need to do with other methods that don't tie the machine up.
Yeah, right. I don't want to do that too often. I don't want to make people upset. But really want to get going back on HF, but man, that 2 meter single sideband stuff, we got to dabble with that. Too bad Eric and some of your friends and stuff wouldn't want to do the same, you know.
Absolutely, and you know, you can, overall it's not 100% duty cycle, so it's using less power even for the same wattage rating. Now, unless you're going with digital, that's 100%.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. This is sweet. So when I'm in the vehicle and traveling, I can chat you up and other people, hopefully down the, you know, as things grow. But it's a lot handier than screwing around with a damn phone, I think.
When you're out where I'm at and where Eric's at, there is no phone service out there around the river and around the lakes. Ooh, lightning. They just don't have it. So, you know, and if we start doing anything with the bee stuff, we can meet up places, you know, while we're moving around doing the bee stuff in the summer times. And then, you know, like I said, just being able to do it mobile. So it is what it is. There's just no phone service out there where we're at around the river valley.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man, this is making me want to hurry up and get that crossband thing going where I can keep just a small HT around in my pocket or whatever nearby and, you know, have it on the lowest power setting. And I mean, the thing I'm holding now, or not holding, I'm using a hand mic, but even this DM32, it's a fairly good-sized little HT. I mean, I wouldn't want to carry it around all the time, hang on to it in my hand. It my pocket or whatever, but man, like a little UV5R or similar rig. That's why I was wondering, do you know if the crossband repeats, if you have a crossband repeat rig like the Anytone, let's say, if it has three or four bands, one of which is 220, can you use, the 220 as part of the crossband setup, or will it only work on UHF, VHF?
Gets the Purple Crystal Award. You have to go crossband because that's the way it's engineered to do that. In-band is, you need duplexer cavities to do in-band, and those are big for VHF.
Right, but I wonder if it will work with 220 to 2 meters, let's say.
I'm telling you, I'm going to strike out and say no. Strike out its question and say no, and because they're too close is where I'm going with that. Not enough separation to engineer filters that small.
Okay, I was just curious because we had those little valve things that had 220 on them, and so if I was to use that around here, it'd be pretty nice, put it on the low power. I wouldn't be interfering with anybody around here. Of course, a stupid crossband is going to be pumping out on 2 meters, so I guess it doesn't make much difference. I don't know. I've never messed with the 440 stuff yet, so that'll be a whole new ballgame, too.
Do you know a guy that's got a lathe and a mill, or a lathe and 2 mils? So if we can get a cavity, or if we can get a set of plans or figure out something close for a set of cavities, we can make our own duplexers.
I thought I saw it one time somebody was using Foster's cans for that, the Foster's beer can.
That would be for 440.
Yep, that's what I figured.
Kind of, you got that Omni, that's a tram, isn't it? Isn't it a tram clone?
Yeah, I think it might actually be just a tram and not even a clone. At any rate, yeah.
Keep our eyes peeled for that window line, that ladder line stuff. We got to keep our eyes peeled for that because we could make some pretty good gain antennas on both bands. Now,
if you've got a dedicated triplexer, I don't know if they sell one that does 220, but if they did that, then you could get away with probably doing that cross band on 220 and just have two separate rigs and rig up a controller.
Yeah, I don't know that much about this stuff on UHF, VHF, and all that. I was never all that interested in it, just HF, but yeah, lots to learn.
I think it's a little close, though, to be running 220 and 2 meters that close to try to cross band without having something with a deeper notch.
That sounds reasonable. So what are you doing later when you get home? Are you headed up there now?
North of Millington, I'm done for the day.
Were you able to get that seal back on that PTO?
Never even got the old junk cut off, dude. I got the oxygen bottle in the back of the truck right now.
Wow, that sucks.
Ux with capital Ux. KB800E.
KEATEK. We got to get Rob on here, but he doesn't do much or think much about radio electronics or anything. You know, I don't know how much he would be interested in the banter we all talk about. Now, if you want to talk about horticulture and plants and stuff, so that'd be right up his alley.
Got him on here. We might be able to coax him over to the dark side, a single side band in the bottom of the band and higher power, maybe even get him working on getting on HF and stack some beams up. Both you guys, you know.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. He's been starting to work a little more. He was working part-time, but finances were getting a little scarce, and so, you know, he didn't want to continue to deplete what he has, so he's been getting more work, and so through the spring and summer until the end of summer, he'll be pretty busy filling in for people.
The question out here for other hams that may know something about that, are there any hams on the band that know of any DIY cavity type filters that you can build in a small machine shop, or if you can get like a diplexer, triplexer, something where you can actually use 220 and 440 out the same antenna without able to use it with a crossband type situation for crossband repeat? Maybe somebody will come back in between us chatting it up here and get some information, because there's some brains on this system, buddy. Apparently nobody's going to take the bait, Phil.
Yeah, that's okay.
I can hardly see 200 yards in front of me up here. It is just dumping down.
Well, you're still sounding good. Whereabouts are you now?
Across the tracks on 15, on the south end of Vassar, by the Family Dollar. I'm making good time. I'm just hoping that bottle of oxygen doesn't flatten anything back there while it's rolling around.
Like 50 styrofoam boxes.
One of those in here, I took them all out.
I figured you did. I was being a smart aleck.
I was lining you up for that one.
Dude, it's really strange not being in a shop setting. It's very, very weird to me.
No, the hardest thing was for me is to get back on the radio and not drop F-bombs, because that's the shop environment, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad at this place as some of the places I've worked, but especially a bunch of younger guys, the F-word is like woven into about every sentence and every paragraph, you know?
My blinker on. I guess I should turn that on. That's for other people besides me.
Did you say you had a kid or rig hooked up in the old lady's vehicle up there full time?
Rigs have radios in them, and hers is actually keyed by the ignition, so it stays on. And then I've got them in the house. I'm probably going to leave the Kenwood down there and then set that up with an Omni down there. I may set it up with a beam, just strong arm it on one of them poles, but I've got another one of them Bougie radios too, so I could put one up here as well and then set an Omni up here inside the house. But I use those HTs an awful lot because this system's so strong I can use the HT from the house. But I can use an HT if I've got an Omni antenna too. It's just going to be that much stronger.
Yeah, I'll have to hunt down my Baofengs and play around with those, see if one or the other happens to work a little better from inside of the house. And keep one handy. This thing here, I really like it, but it's kind of on the big side for just having with you all the time. So, you know, I'm not sure how I'll use this one, but to have a smaller HT that's handier would be kind of nice, and that way I'll be on here more often.
You know, I was telling you that when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s, I had that little VJ C5T. It's called the credit card radio. And I used that with an earbud, and I had it Velcroed, because it came with a little plastic case. I Velcroed it inside of my headphones, safety gear, you know, and then I had an earbud inside. And then I used my crossband in the car and just left it on, you know. And that worked pretty good. And it was early lithium cell in it. And that was a nice little radio for what it was. They're no bigger than a credit card and thinner than a number two pencil.
Wasn't that an Elinco?
That?
Was it an Elinco little rig?
Of course, Elinco always made the first in the cool stuff and stuff nobody else had. It was a DJ C5T, I think was the name of it. You can look them up. I'm sure there's a bunch of them still floating around out there and need new batteries.
So what did you do for an antenna on that kit?
It had a factory antenna, a little rubber antenna.
Oh,
it was probably a quarter wave for 440, really. It was about 4.5 inches long. The antenna was as long as the radio was tall, and then I would just, on the plastic case, it come in. I put a Velcro on it, and I Velcroed the side of my hearing protection, and then I had a little earbud I stuck in my ear that had a speaker mic on it, and, you know, I could talk on it, but it was so loud in the shop, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Oh, yeah. Those shops can be loud, those stamping plants.
Never had hearing protection. I'd have been deaf in 2 years in that. I mean, it was a heavy stamping plant. It was the same stuff you did, you know?
Yeah, I pretty much wore mine religiously. You know, I had heard, read, or listen to some kind of information. They were talking about how the beat of those presses and different things like that can actually be harmful to your heart and everything, because it disrupts like the rhythm of your heartbeat or something. And I think all the years that I worked in a stamping plant listening to that pounding, you know, it just kind of amazes me.
Standing on the cement, having the vibration coming up your feet and legs, and yeah, my thermos bottle with that heavy one stamping out those huge cross members, it would shake my thermos bottle off the dust stand in about 5 hits.
Yeah, we didn't have too much that we stamped that was that heavy gauge, but we, you know, there was some stuff that was pretty heavy, and boy, right as they made the first hit, you sure took notice. Sometimes I'd run out in the aisle and kind of go down and look and make sure it wasn't something that just blew up, you know. But, yeah, some of those things are some heavy hitters.
Do you ever have any of them nitrogen springs blow out on you when you first hit?
The only time we had that happen is at Masco Tech. They would leave dyes, I mean some decent-sized dyes outside, and they'd be rained on and everything else. Some stuff was in a shed, other stuff was just stacked up like at this other company I worked for. And we'd bring them in, it'd be late fall or winter, and they'd want to run them. Well, they would only sit in the building for a day or so, and they were trying to let them warm up enough to where it wouldn't blow all the gas springs out the first hit, but that's when they would blow out. The wax seals and stuff in there would be hardened, and then with that just one hit on them, it'd damage them. We'd have to rip the dies apart and replace all the springs or rebuild all of them. It was crazy.
I had one go off halfway through a shift right next to me. And I'll tell you what, it coated me with crap, and it was loud, and it was messy. And I was mad. Boy, was I mad.
Yeah, I imagine. When I worked for Masco Tech, an engineer, a dye engineer, was killed when they were doing a tryout on the dye, and one of those gas springs blew up, and parts of the dye blew out and hit him, killed the guy. And so I always know that they're extremely dangerous, you know. I always had kind of like a respect for the things, be very careful. You know, it's funny because you're not really supposed to check them by pounding on the tap of the rod, but everybody does. But boy, if you're going to do that, you want to make sure it's a force straight up and down, not a side force, you know.
It wasn't pleasant. It didn't feel good, I can tell you that. It's something I'll never forget. It only happened to me one time, and I wouldn't want it to happen to me again. I wouldn't want it to happen to any of my friends or family, that's for sure.
Yeah, heck no. Hey, what do you think the conditions were that caused it to fail? I mean, they don't usually blow up unless something goes wrong, right? With the tool, something shifted and put a force on it or ruptured the can or it got bottomed out somehow. What do you think caused it to blow up?
Age, and it was sitting outside, and apparently it had leaked at one point in time, too, because they had to blow the, once they set the die, they had to blow it, they had to hook the regulator tank up to it, and because the pressure went down. So I don't know if maybe it could have even went down to the point where it even had negative pressure and condensation or something. I don't know, but it didn't make it halfway through the shift. It was after first break, maybe.
Yeah, that's weird. Trying to remember when you build those so long. Well, you use Dadco and Enforcer and all the different brand die springs. But I'm trying to remember how we would rebuild those. I'm trying to remember what retains the piston in there, the rod. But I wonder if they put it in the press and the gas pressure was void, right? And they rolled it over and it bottomed the spring out. And maybe something came unhitched, whatever holds the rod together. I just don't remember at this time. the assembly of them. It's been too many years. Anyway, and then when they pressurized it, maybe it was internally damaged from doing that, and then when they made another hit on it, kaboom, you know. I don't know. But, yeah, that's not a good thing for sure.
Said after first shift, before second, or not, after first break, before second, before lunch break, somewhere in there, it was, you know, look, how many million cycles had that thing already been through? I suppose it doesn't hurt to replace those once in a while. I'm going in, Phil. We've had this repeater tied up for a solid, between leaving Jeff's and on and off with Eric, we've had this repeater tied up, and I'm sure there's other people that would love to use it. And I imagine it's warmed up, and if something's going to break, it probably should have.
All right, man. We'll get off this thing. Give it a rest. Let others enjoy it. So take care, dude. 7-3, Mike. Catch you later. KB8OOE, KE8GEK.
Buddy, let's get working on those beams and omnis soon. I can set one up temporarily up here, and then I can set one up down at the house down there. I can't get to my towers. My stepmother won't let me at any of my stuff. And I don't even know if at this point my dad would even remember who I am. So it is what it is. I'll talk to you in a little later. And Scott is real interested in getting on this, but we're going to have to disguise some of his antennas, maybe load the gutters for HF and things like that. So I want you guys to meet, and you and Eric as well. So we'll go from there, and we'll get the show on the road, and that way we just use this for traveling. And then point to point, we can shoot each other with the beams and omnis and stuff with a little higher power and lower in the band, other modes. KEB8OOE.
Okay, Mike, 7-3, KEATEK.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFGS, WHBPA call.
YAV, monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Mike, Quebec.
KSU, WM10, monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA FGS, monitoring. KF8 FGS, monitoring.
KB8OOE mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFAFGS from KEAWUO.
KB8OOE.
Connected to CMN Network.
KB8OOE.
Ears ringing?
Not at this moment.
Right, yeah, we just got back to the house. We're getting right head inside. We had to go up and get some water from the store, and we got a few Scooby snacks while we're there for the dogs and us, and so, yeah. This is her radio in her car.
Okay, is it the same thing you got in your car?
This is a 218 radio, the little bouncy thing. Same antenna, but I'm running this at full tilt. And I can't in there because I've got something kicking fuses.
Okay. Yeah, I'm torn. I might just run mine off of a lithium battery some other time. I mean, I've got one. I take some kind of a little setup for it where it's strapped into place securely and stuff, you know what I mean?
I'm not going to mess with lithium unless I'm heading for the hills to camp it, you know. Then I'll have a charge controller for it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You can have like a little panel, a little charge controller, a little lithium battery in your handy talkie. I have to be dependent upon the vehicle for the battery.
One of those little cigarette lighter breakout things so you can keep phones, you know, those little devices charged up, and we can use the Bluetooth stuff for that little gizmo we're getting ready to try out on the HDs and whatnot for using for packet and those types of things, too. So we'll see. We'll see how the toys come together.
Oh, yeah. I got to not forget about that little board you showed me, your buddy and stuff. And not get distracted and have that be some kind of a lost thing down in the bottom of the message hole on my phone, you know. I need to keep it up at the front where I can maybe order one of the damn things too.
We'll be testing them out soon. We got to jump out of the car and head in, so got to get the stuff out of the back of the car and go in there, and the dogs are probably frantic because we told them already that we're giving them treats when we leave and made them stay home. Wouldn't let them ride in the car with us, so they're probably mad at us for not letting them ride in the car, and now they're in there anticipating yummies.
Oh yeah, the little one's probably on top of the shoulders of the bigger dog looking out the window, counting the steps to get to the door.
I'll talk to you a little later. Sumtree, KB80OE.
Hi, Sumtree, KB80OE.
KB80OE.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Radio check out.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is KE8YGV monitoring from Salem, Missouri. This is KE8YGV monitoring my companions in Lapeer, and I'm now in Salem, Missouri.
connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.